The duration. All right. Well, this message is the guidelines for a success for graduates, but it includes all of us, okay? We're all still in the journey of life. And so there's three separate passages of scriptures here this morning that I want to talk with you a few minutes about, because they all deal with life and how we're going to respond and how we will get through life based upon what the scripture teaches us to do. And making it through 12 years of high school or 16 years including college involves facing some real challenges. And many of you have already faced a lot of challenges in your life, and that's part of life. But we can never give up. Never give up. And as we can all testify, making it through life will include continuous encounters with challenges that we must meet. But the wonderful thing about confronting these numerous challenges is that we can face them with some big victories already under our belt. And I want you to think, each one of us think for a few minutes, and especially you young people. Just think, graduates, of the encounters you have already experienced with success. You graduated from childhood and successfully began that first day of preschool and then kindergarten, right? You remember those days? No? I don't remember those days. I don't either, because they didn't have it when I was your age. And you graduated from pre-adolescence and successfully navigated those teen years, and some of you are still in the teens. And now you are graduating from high school or college, and now you must travel the road of adulthood. Whoopee, huh? All right, looking for those days of an adulthood. Now, how can you continue success be assured or guaranteed? Let's look at some guidelines from God's Word, and that's what I want to share with you this morning, some guidelines that will provide guidance for you and for every one of us gathered here today, just not the young people, just not our ones graduating from high school and college, but every one of us. See, one of the greatest hazards to success is, it's a four-letter word, fear. Fear of success, okay? While not all fear is bad, everyone knows what it's like to be afraid. How many of you have ever been afraid of something, or maybe still are afraid of something? Yeah, we are. It's human nature, I guess. So, when fear immobilizes us and keeps us from doing that to which we have been called, we are dominated by what is called, the Bible will, a few minutes say, the spirit of fear, okay? This kind of fear paralyzes us and keeps us from doing the things we could or should do. Now, it's with this in mind, this morning in this message, I put a lot of thought, a lot of prayer. God knows, you know, when I'm talking to young people, I want us to be able to grasp, you know, the significance of the things that we face here in our life, but look on the biblical side of how God will always be there with you. All we have to do is go to Him. And oftentimes, like a little girl said, well, I believe in Jesus and everything. I just wish He was here in person. Well, you know, He is here in spirit with us. He'll be with you, and He's always with you. He's always near when you need Him. But we must call upon Him. We must depend upon Him. We must be comforted with Him. So, first of all, on your outline there, and you might want to make some notes, because it's vital that we we get every nugget we can from the scriptures to help us in life. And we've all, you know, understand that we need special care, and those that will always be there, your parents will always be there for you, and your friends and adults who know you and have been there with you as you've been growing up will always be there with you. As Crystal said this morning, you have five up here, you know, the spiritual leaders in this church to support you and pray for you, and we'll certainly be doing that. But first of all, we need to you need to face your fear. Look with me at 2 Timothy 1:7. Liz quoted 1 Timothy 4:12, where it said, "Let no one look down upon your youthfulness." And this one, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity," which is fear, okay, "but the power and the love and the discipline." That's sound mind, or that's self-control. So, the Bible is full of fear nots, okay? Fear not. Jesus said, "Fear not, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So, but I like this verse because it was written to a young man, perhaps a little bit older than you are. And Timothy was a young man, pastor at the church at Ephesus, and the Apostle Paul was his mentor. How many of you young people know that you have a mentor? Someone that you can go to. And I know our thinking is, as young people, I'm not going to my parents, you know. I don't want to. But, you know, we do look up to them. And we do want their guidance. I was saying last Sunday, I still get, you know, mentoring from my mother, even though at my age, and sometimes we think we're past that stage, but we never are, are we? We need someone to be accountable to. We need someone that we can go to and say, you know, pray for me, talk with me, listen to me. I need somebody there for me. So Paul, he encouraged Timothy in the first letter not to let others intimidate him because of his young age. See, Timothy was afraid of being inadequate as a young pastor. He lacked self-confidence. And I know a lot of young people don't like self-confidence today, but there are certain areas that we fear. There are certain areas of our life that we're afraid, that we're not sure of. So with God in control, we can face our fears. So he gives us the ability to do what life demands, to love when others hate, and to be under control when others throw restraints to us and win. So Max Lucado says, "Fear doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountain." You think about it. Fear doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountain. If fear can rattle you enough, it will persuade you to take your eyes off of the peaks and settle for the dull existence of the flatlands. And we want to be on the peak, don't we? We want to be on the mountain, every one of us, all the time. And that is possible. But there are those valleys in our lives. But don't let fear put you in the valley, on the flatlands. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So, seniors, living away from home can be a fearful time, but for some, it could be a joyful time. You might say, "Whoopee, I'm out of the house now." Yeah. I remember our oldest daughter. I know our oldest daughter. Well, yes, she is our oldest because she's our youngest. But she's the only one we have. That was free, Brenda. But all the way through high school, "I can't wait till I get out of the house." And we loved her, she loved us, and all of that, but she was looking into the future. She wanted to get out and make her own living and do the things she wanted to do and everything. Well, when she graduated, guess what? She was still at home. And we kept saying, well, okay, you're in college now, you're doing this and doing that. When are you moving out? She said, oh, I like it here now. She said, I never knew I had it so good. So sometimes we talk and say all of these things when we really don't mean it, but we really understand that there's no place like home. So you will. You may have some fears going away for the first time to college, you know, or interviewing for a new job can be traumatic. Not having friends, really? Yeah. That care about you can be devastating. But you see, God has not given you seniors a spirit of fear, okay? As Paul is saying to Timothy here, it is God will to move you from fear to confidence, okay? You are called to live courageously and to trust the enablement of God's Spirit, though young, inexperienced, and somewhat afraid to work through you. See, God wants to work through your lives. And see, many of you maybe accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior years ago. He indwells in your life. He lives there. And He wants to be there and direct you. And He is there for you. We just got to allow Him to move us from the fear of life to the confidence that He can give us in any situation in life. And whether it's being away from home or facing a new study in college, or whatever it might be, God's going to be there for you. And just allow Him to direct you in a fear of confidence. See, God can and will use your life, but you must be willing to face your fears, okay? So, saying yes to Jesus on the secular college campus is a courageous thing while facing the fear of being a stereotype, all right? If you're taking a stand for the Lord. Now, I've talked to many of our young people who have moved on from this church into college, and I've talked to them on a regular basis, and when we tell them, you can call us anytime, any place, any time at night, you know, I don't care if you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll talk to you, okay? I'm always on call, to any of you, or anybody, to talk. And Aaron Hensley is one that calls me frequently and gives me an update on his life and what God's doing. And he has struggled. I wasn't here when he spoke back when I was gone, but he has spoken and told me that, you know, I didn't realize what God's life was going to be until I got there and saw the challenges and saw the demands and the pulls and the strains of the peer pressure and so forth. And he said, I struggled with that for a long time. But he said, you know, I got a grip on that and realized that God was there the whole time for me. I just didn't take advantage of God's power and love and control in my life. But I think he's got the handle on that now. And see, he's going on a mission trip to Johannesburg, Africa this summer. We'll be leaving soon.
No, he's there.
He's already there, okay. He's already there. You know what? He'll be there to June, right? To June. So, see, there are these young people who move on to greater things in life and success. And it's because we're not successful on our own. It's because we allow God to help us be successful. So one of the biggest battles you'll face is the fear of honesty. Also in college, a rancher asked a veterinarian for some free advice. He said, I have a horse. And he said, that walks normally sometimes, and sometimes it walks with a limp. And so the man asked the veterinarian, said, what can I do about that? What can be done? The veterinarian told the rancher, he said, okay, the next time that he walks normally, sell him. Well, that would be something that we would we would think about, yeah, I'll take that advice. But would that be the right thing to do? Would that be the right thing to do? I don't really think so. See, dishonesty is the norm today. It takes courage to be honest on a resume or to not cheat on an exam or to be fair in business. So what I'm saying here, face your fear of poor grade or of not getting a job or losing a profit if necessary, knowing that God has promised the necessary power and love and self-control to help you to get the job done, even if you have to stand alone. Just recently, I was talking to Kim, our granddaughter, and so forth, and we was talking about school and education and everything. She looked at me and said, Papa, how long did it take you to get through school? And I had to start counting up the years I was in school. I said, well, I've got 26 years of school. She said, really? You just didn't get it, did you? It took you that long. How many years did you fail? I said, well, I didn't fail any. It just, with my education, going back to school and continuing education, it's 26 years. Not me. I'm not doing that. But you see, education is never wasted. And you accept the challenge that God puts before you. And, you know, God's going to take you as far as you want to go, and he'll take you and he'll be with you along the way. There was a test conducted by a university where 10 students were placed in a room. And three lines of various lengths were drawn on a card. But nine of the students were taken aside and said, okay, when the card is shown, you choose the second line. And of course, they had to be a stooge. They had to be someone that didn't know what the other nine were doing. So when it came to the longest line, of course, the stooge raised up his hand. And when he looked around and noticed nobody else had their hand raised, he pulled it down. The statistics is that 75% of the students from grade school to high school, if they thought they were alone, even if they was wrong or right, would not take a stand right. You see, don't do that. Always take a stand for the right, whether or not you're standing alone or you're right or with someone else that is willing to stand for what's right. You see, God never ever take your cues from the crowd. Do what is convicted in your heart. Someone once said, if our fears don't keep us from navigating life, then the inappropriate response of failures may. Okay, let's look at the second thing. Okay? Face your fears. Now, forget your failures. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, look at that with me. This is usually, you know, a New Year's passage. But today, it fits you graduates. Paul is in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard under what was probably poor conditions when he wrote this epistle. In chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained this, that is, I have not already been perfected. Now, what Paul is saying, made like Christ in every way. That's what Paul is saying. But I strive to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. And in verse 13 now, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself have attained this. Now he's talking about the level of maturity. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind. And what Paul is saying here, this is a good thing because Paul made a bunch of mistakes, didn't he? We make a bunch of mistakes, but including he persecuted Christians. He made a bunch of mistakes, but he said, I'm putting all this behind me now because I'm trusting Christ. And then he goes on saying, reaching out for the things that are ahead. Verse 14, with this goal in mind, I strive towards the prize of the upcalling of God in Christ Jesus. See, Paul, what he has done here, he's enrolled in Christ Likeness University, pursuing a course of study that would prepare him to the life to be just like Christ. That's what he was striving for. You see, Paul makes two implications in this statement. Look there with me. He refuses to allow failures become destructive in his life. Young people, refuse to let failures become destructive in your life. Put all of those things that you haven't accomplished behind you. And I know many of you have accomplished a lot of good things, a lot of success in the academics and everything like that. But the things you didn't excel in, you can improve on those. You can succeed and move on with those. Secondly, he refused to allow failures to beset his journey to his goal. He had his goal set high. So what's the secret here? He put his past behind him and determined to have a positive mental attitude in life. There will be failures. There will be failures. None of us are perfect, and the only ones who never do anything wrong are the ones that never do anything at all, right? Remember that. It's not the matter of if you will fail, but when. And when we fail, we must learn from it and then put it behind us. That's what Paul is saying. We must never allow failure to make us quit trying. In the midst of World War II, Oxford University asked Prime Minister Winston Churchill to come and speak to their graduating class. And of course, everybody was looking forward to Winston Churchill coming to speak to their commencement. And of course, he walks in with his best suit on, with his cane, with his cigar, and with his top hat, as he always did. Everybody stood when they saw him walking up to the podium. Everybody was applauding because they had heard about him, how great of an orator he was and everything. And they respected him being the prime minister. And he has some great quotes, and I often use those too because it reminds us of things that we can accomplish if we put our mind to it. But he walks up to the podium. He lays his cane to the side. He takes off his top cap, lays it down, and puts his cigar over to the side. He kind of straightens up his suit and everything, kind of looks around. And even some of the most dignified educators were there to hear his brilliant message. And many of you probably know what it was. But I like to use this illustration because it tells us something about ourselves. When the tough gets going, right? What do we do? Well, he stands there and he looks straight out at the audience and so forth, and he says three words: never give up. A few minutes, a few seconds pass, and everybody is really on the edge of their seat to see what he's really going to say. And once again, he says, never give up. Takes his top cap, puts it on, takes his cigar and his cane, steadies himself, and walks right off the podium. Everybody is just awed. That's all he's going to say? Is that enough for us? It's enough for me. Never give up. And that's what Paul is saying here. Never look back, but never give up. Keep pressing forward in your life. So reach the goal of which Paul spoke, we must follow the final guideline. Look with me into Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Here, in Hebrews chapter 12, the book of Hebrews was written to Christians who were struggling in their faith. And there may be many of you here today struggling with your faith. And I want to tell you, Satan will hit you hard in that area if you're struggling in your faith. If you're really not sure of your salvation, of your experience that you've had with the Lord, when you made that public decision and when you were baptized, you may not be where you were at the very beginning of your faith, but you can be stronger, and the Lord wants you to be stronger. And that's who Paul is talking to right here. He's talking to the Christians who were wavering in their faith. They needed some stability. They were wavering in their devotion to Christ because they were going through some hard times. And we go through some hard times, that's when we're going to struggle the most. So the writer encourages the saints to not give up. The others have been victorious, and so can we. Look with me in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and what he's saying, listen up, hear their voices. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Listen to their voices.